Robin.
Isn't that amazing?
Welcome to the Migscast. My name is Steve Miggs. I am here with the Reverend Enfuego.
Hello.
And I am also here with the blonde James Dio.
Howdy.
Glenn Cannon.
Yeah, that was a first. I'd never been called that. I always thought I was too tall to be considered a blonde Dio.
I feel like we got to just jump right into that.
Man.
On Saturday, we get to play a very cool benefit show for Rock Out ALS. Our buddy Mike put it on, and he always puts on a great show every year to help raise money and, more importantly, awareness for Lou Gehrig's disease. A lot of people now will know it because of the documentary about
Steve
Gleason.
Oh, that's right. Steve Gleason. That's right.
If you want a good cry, and I mean it, if you want a good cry, just watch the trailer. You don't even need to watch the movie. I still haven't had the ability to watch the full movie because the trailer.
You playing clips from the trailer on the program, and
I sat
over here with my bottom lip quivering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Powerful stuff.
So, Mike has a very personal connection to it, and that's why he puts together this benefit show, Rock Out ALS, and the new originals were lucky enough to be a part of it, and Glenn, maybe you should just set the stage. We're on stage. We're trying to figure everything
out. Sound checking, you know.
Yeah, okay.
And it was, you know, it was. You gotta love Steve the Thrill Hill. So, you know, the new originals. It's me. It's Kyle Court, Joey. And it's funny. I always say her last name. I always want to say Belcamp, but it's not. It's
Becklamp.
Yeah.
I just know her as Joey.
She's out there right now somewhere, picturing strangling me. Yeah, Joey. I just know her as Joey.
Cool, Joey.
Our buddy Brian Dale Fall, who's a fantastic singer. He does all the Cult and Danzig stuff and just destroys it.
He's got pipes.
And then you've got, you know, Steve Miggs on drums and Ryan Castle on drums. And it's fun, man. I mean, even when it comes off the rails, it's fun, you know? So it's always great playing as the new originals. It's something we all love to do. So we get there and we're sound checking, and the sound guy's this, you know, sharp, good looking, in shape black dude. And he's getting our mix together and stuff. And he doesn't know anyone's names. So, and of course, on stage right, I'm right next to Thrill, right? So, you know, first we get, hey, Ginger Beard, which was Ryan Castle.
I'm in tears.
Oh, yeah. Call him Ginger Beard.
Mind you, before all this happens, we're setting up the drum mics, and I instantly pissed him off. He was telling us, hey, man, guys, don't hit the drums when I'm setting up the drum mics. I'm like, got it. So while he's setting up Ryan's drum mics, I thought I was okay to make sure my drums were, as I say, tuned, but I just basically tuned them until they sound like a drum. So I just quickly snapped on the snare to make sure the snare was nice and poppy, and he just gives me this look, and I'm like, bro, I'm sorry.
Well, that explains it.
And I'm looking, I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you set the mood there,
well,
buddy.
Well, Ryan also did it. So that's Ryan first started.
Like, he is a chronic noodler. Like, we'll be in rehearsal, and I'll be talking
sometimes
to Steve.
He drinks too much, and it's a noodle.
Like, hey, Thrill, man. So right here, we're going to go to the B, and then after the B, it goes to A. And Thrill and I are trying to have a logistical conversation, and Ryan just can't stop.
Yeah.
Beating his drums. He's the worst.
Yeah, so he did it before me.
He is the worst that
Which
way,
is
man.
Why the guy said, hey, don't F around with your drums while I'm setting up the mics. And I got that, but I figured when he was setting up Ryan's drums, I was I guess I wasn't that
his
far away.
His head's still 4 feet away from your snare, man.
I feel like that's far away. I feel like that's a safe zone.
Negative.
So I hit it, he looks at me, and I'm like, oh, crap. Sorry, and I don't want to piss off the sound guy. That's the worst thing you could do. And he just looks at me and goes, I'm not mad at you. But I'm really mad. And I'm like, well, then you're mad at me.
Because right now you are exactly
he
right.
He probably dealt with a lot that day. I know there
All
were
day.
Lots of bands. He was dealing with tons of changeovers. Chances are he showed up with a PA to mix this thing and then showed up and went, there's 8 changeovers. You know what I mean? I would bet you. Because I've walked into that like, hey, Glenn, can you come mix this event? Sure, man, I'd love to. And then I show up and I'm like, okay. You know, there's 15 artists. This particular band has a complete horn section, and the horn section wants all their horns in their monitor mix.
Yeah.
And then you got a singer up there that sings like a mouse going, I can't hear myself. And I'm like, that's because you're next to a brass band. You know, sing louder or quit doing what you're doing.
Glenn Cannon mixes ska.
I have.
Fronted by Minnie Mouse.
Oh, dude, and then reggae, I still can't.
Minnie Mouse
to,
and the ska tones.
I used to mix reggae and island music at a club called the Red Sea downtown.
Sure.
I was down there 4 nights a week, man, and met a bunch of amazing, you know, reggae and island musicians. But, man, some of the stuff I would deal with on a mix level, you know, just because a lot of these guys had horn sections or bass players that were just obnoxiously loud. And, you know, the guy, I can't hear myself in my monitor. I'm like, well, try singing into the mic, man. You know, like, it just,
What is it about bassists, too? I noticed a lot of times that the bassist is always the most, like, demanding when it comes to the sound quality.
Well, and musicians, it's one I always joke about this. This is why I quit booking bands. Musicians are horrible people. Well, then, I mean, generally horrible, horrible people
right.
with no concept of what's going on as far as creating a mix, or even worse, booking them. It's like, I'm sorry, man, did I interrupt your bong hit? You contacted me about playing this show. am I bothering you, man? Do you need more time with your PlayStation and your weed, or do you want to? So yeah, musicians are just terrible people, man. They really are. So that poor sound guy had probably gotten just a fistful of that all day.
And then the last band is the world's worst cover band, who happens to have two drummers that he needs to mic for one song.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where we're at. So he probably, you're right, he's already on edge, and now we're trying to do soundcheck.
Right.
And he refers to Ryan because he's like, hey, you know, trying to get the drummers to go through a line check, play each.
But he doesn't know anyone's names. So,
right.
Yeah, you get Ginger Beard.
That's amazing.
Which I
love.
Brought me to tears. Thrill and I were like hugging in laughter at that moment.
Yeah.
So then I think it was Other Guy.
That was me.
You were like, hey, Other Guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Fast forward to after our set, I went over to him and went, hey, man, thanks a lot for all of your help. And he goes, I'm sorry, man. And I'm like, what?
Aww.
He goes, I'm sorry I didn't have a better nickname for you. He said, next time I'll be better. I'm like, I hope so.
So, you know, now you get Steve.
I'm expecting to get roasted, man.
I know,
I got
right?
nothing. Like Mr. Clean, anything.
And then we get, he goes to Kyle Court and he goes, Static X minus the spikes.
Nice. I didn't even hear that.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
And so, you know, then he gets
Kyle's got that goatee.
Yeah, you know. So he gets Static X minus the spikes. And then you get bass player. And Steve, go ahead, thrill checks, you know, mm-hmm. bass player, you know, sir, go ahead and check your bass. And then I get, hey, Blonde Dio, yeah. go ahead and check your guitar. Right, so after that, I turned
I'm in tears. I'm like, I don't know which is better, Dio or Ginger Beard. I think we got to change our name of our band.
Ginger Beard.
Yeah, Ginger Beard.
Ginger Beard and the Blonde Dios.
Yes. And the guy from Static X minus the hair.
Hey, Static X minus the spikes, right? So right after that, I turned to Thrill. I'm like, hey, man, did you catch that, brother? And he's like, what's that, dude? And I'm like, you notice how everyone up here got a disparaging nickname? And by this time, Thrill's already got this big smile.
Yeah.
Like, but you were like, sir, can you please check your bass? And Thrill goes, you know why, don't you? And I was like, yes. And he's like, racism. And he's like, sometimes it works out for me, man. And so all this.
For the smallest thing.
Oh, dude.
Sir, bassist.
Yeah, everyone got these disparaging nicknames except
great.
Steve. He's like, sir, can you check your bass?
Yeah.
So Thrill and I literally were just dying before we got playing, just riffing back and forth on that.
And you knew he was hoping you would notice, too.
Oh, man.
It was a social commentary.
Oh, yeah. It was funny.
I didn't pick up on it until I saw the way they were reacting. I'm like, what's going on? And he goes, oh, he just referred to him as the bassist, sir. Can you please? I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah. Ah, Thrill's just smiling. He's like, see, man? See?
Roasted.
Sometimes, man. You
and
know.
I was trying to be Mr. Diplomatic. I'm like, well, he didn't say anything bad about me either. And then you guys brought up a good point. Yeah, he called you the other guy.
Other guy.
That's not necessarily a compliment.
No.
No.
Not in the slightest.
Oh, dude. Yeah, if I could have taken a photo of Thrill's face, man. Like, just this huge grin. He's like, you know why, don't you? I'm like, hell yes, I know why.
It was freaking hilarious.
Oh, we howled laughing, man. We howled. It was great. The show was a ton of fun. I got Thrill again afterwards, too.
Did he fall into the drums again?
No.
He got close to mine, and I thought, uh-oh. Here we go.
Yeah. Back off.
We did have to swap out his bass rig because he had busted all the input jacks off of his cab, but we figured that out for him.
It's all those hormone pills that he's been taking.
Thrill notoriously, it's funny, man. Like, he's got this beautiful custom bass, doesn't own a tuner. Like, at some point, I'm going to buy the man a tuner, and I know he'll laugh when I do. I mean, that bass is magnificent. It's a custom-made, gorgeous, you should see this thing. It's amazing. Doesn't own a tuner, so that's funny. But
yeah,
he got
how do you not have a tuner? It's not a tuner.
It's not a tuner. But, wow. You know, then I lost my... Oh, so Steve got that beautiful custom bass, and every new original show and every new originals rehearsal, he would his strap would come off his bass, and so that gorgeous, you know, he's probably got $3,500 or more wrapped up in that thing would hit the ground or bounce off the wall. And I looked at the strap pins that were on the bass from factory, and they are shallower strap lock pins. So I've got a collection of those. So I gave my man some strap locks a while back.
Right.
And he's like, "Oh, dude." I'm like, "I got you." I love you, man. I've rewired his basses. Remember that?
Yeah, because he's been notorious for while we're playing because he pounds the living crap out of his bass.
His strap will come off.
His strap comes off, and the next thing you know, you look at him, and he's balancing his bottom of his bass on the floor and playing it like a stand-up, but it's a regular bass.
Yeah. So I got in these strap locks, man, so that would... And the way they work is there's this, you know, fancy little contraption that hooks onto the pin on the instrument, but then mm-hmm. there's a big washer and a nut, and you tighten that down, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
So it was during War Pigs, I glanced out at the stage, and I saw that big chrome washer, and I went, ooh, I hope the nut didn't go far. And then while we're playing, I spotted the nut. I'm like, ooh. And then I looked, and I'm like, okay, it's the rearmost pin that blew apart on him. And I'm like, okay, he'll either lose his bass or he won't. And it didn't fly off. So we got done with the set, and immediately when we got done and thanked the crowd and stuff, I scooped up that washer and that nut. Steve's back fiddling with his rig, and I just put my hand past his shoulder with those things in my palm, and Thrill's like, what's that? And I'm like, those are the components to your rear strap lock. And he was like, what? Really? And I'm like, dude, that's what friends are for. And once again, dude, he just shook his head and smiled like almost this man, you know, like, what would I do without you?
Friends.
Like, oh, I know, man. Oh, I'm just going to, every time I start seeing Thrill, I'm just going to start singing the My Buddy song, you know.
My buddy and me.
So, yeah, I got a couple good Thrill laughs during the show, which are, you get that guy laughing hard, it's always a treat, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So. One of my favorite moments, so we finished the set. Well, first of all, one of my other favorite moments was I completely threw off the entire band because I decided to skip one song in the set and start the wrong song.
Of course.
And it was because we played back-to-back Alice in Chains songs. We were doing Junkhead and Man in the Box. In my head, I created it that Man in the Box came before Junkhead. Well, no, that wasn't the case. So I start the... And
well, no, he gave his hi-hat first. So I heard this... And I was like, man, he's going to play Junkhead fast. And then, dum, dum. And by that point, I think the whole band was looking at Steve like, dude.
What are you doing?
Yeah, we could have played him in reverse order if we'd have had any kinds of a heads up, but it's a little late now.
And I'm looking at them like, what did I do wrong? Why are they playing it wrong? Like, what's going on? And I look at the set list. I look down at the set list, and I'm like, oh.
And I'm up on the front of the stage like, dude. Wrong song, you know, and then I think I involved the audience in that, and I
got called out.
Oh, I totally got called out. Yeah.
Well, but later in the set,
the
I
whole
did,
time while we're playing
the same thing.
I have this weird, like, you know, self hatred. So I'm like, the band hates me. Everyone's mad at me.
Oh man,
Glenn's looking at me and smiling at me, and all I'm thinking is he's smiling, but he truly hates me
right now.
I completely made him look bad.
He's gonna throw things at me.
Right.
This.
I'm like, Kyle's not even looking at me. The band hates. I'm getting kicked out of this band. Good thing they have another drummer. Otherwise, it'd be effed.
No. See, Livewire, which in rehearsals, we could feel that Livewire was probably a mistake. And Castle,
the Motley Crue song.
Castle plays drums on Livewire, and we played it once or twice, and we were like, you know, I think we can pull this off. But Ryan, for some reason, has a thing with the song, Motley Crue song Livewire, where I think because it's a harder piece of music for him, he, in his brain, when he gets it right, the more he gets it right, the more he speeds it up.
Yeah,
and
okay,
so
okay.
It gets, so we're on stage.
Like singing, you know, like a chipmunk,
dude,
at that point.
Dude, my right forearm started to cramp, you know, and Joey's singing it. She's like, blah, 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 song by Motley Crue. And you know, and Castle just...
Exactly
by
the original
blah,
version.
Blah, blah, yeah. But so it got to a point where I started looking at people in the audience with this look of...
And they're like, is this...
Help! And they were looking at me like, what's happening? You know? And so we finally got done.
Send an adult. You know, I need an adult.
Dude.
And this is why I never do Motley Crue songs.
I turned to Castle and I was like, why? And he's like, I know, man. That was too fast for me. And I'm like, why did you do that, Ryan?
I can't stop.
Yeah, so you weren't the only drummer, man, that day that had a moment. Like,
it's a semi-barreling down with no brakes. Oh, and he's like, we can't stop this one. Sorry,
guys. Mike afterwards is like, sorry about the White Knuckle Express version of Livewire there, you know. Castle's just sitting behind his kit laughing like, sorry, bro, you know.
It was great. They finished the song, and I'm on the side of the stage, like, watching them, and then I see, I think you went on the mic and go, well, that was a lot faster than we practiced.
Oh, man, yeah, yeah. So I think the next time Livewire pops up on a set list, I'm going to be like, maybe that's not a good
give him
idea.
A hit to a little joint, and I get him, like, nice and slowed down.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, ba-da-ga-da-ga-da-ba, da-ga-da-ga-da-ba, da-ga-da-ga-da-ga-ba-da. Ba-da, with Castle's like you know, I'm telling you, Dave Mustaine.
A little more War Pigs at that point.
Dude, Mustaine would have had a panic attack, you know?
And it's the
drummer on stage.
That's like always my biggest thing is I'll always play faster than slower. So it's like I get where he's coming. Like it's like the adrenaline, but sometimes you got to tell yourself in the back of your head, like, especially those Alice in Chains songs, because it's so hard.
I've played Man in the Box with a bunch of different drummers, and they all have a tendency to play that puppy fast.
Yeah.
Which it still comes off okay, but if you get the pace right, it feels good. I mean, you nailed the pace, man.
Yeah,
you know,
cause that felt good.
Yeah,
when we finally played the song that I thought we were going to play.
Well, and even as a guitarist, it's one of those things where when you learn something complicated for some reason because it's challenging, your brain wants to make it more challenging, so you'll sit there and I'll learn something that's hard. And I'll speed it up, and then I'll get back together with Tony and be like, dude, yeah, that's hard to play, but you're really making it harder than it needs to be. Check this out. And then Tony will play it back for me at the proper pace. I'm like,
Yeah, man.
So I think it's just a natural thing.
Yeah. Like, it almost seems like you just want to get through it because you're doing so well. Yeah. You're like, let's just get through it and get done because we've got it.
Plus, Castle did a bunch of speed before the show.
And, apparently. Yeah, no. Or just right before LiveWire.
That's why I don't ever want to cover Motley. When I would do Girls, 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 which isn't nearly as fast, but I hate covering Motley Crue songs because Tommy Lee is... he's a phenomenal drummer, but he does a lot of weird stuff that I don't think if you're not a drummer,
it's
you don't realize.
Tricky. Yeah, and their arrangements, it's like they'll do the whole song without ever changing key, and you don't realize it because there's a verse and a chorus and a verse and a chorus and a bridge. You don't realize that essentially it's all the same part. And I had never paid attention to that until I had to start learning Motley Crue songs to play with the new originals. And at first I was like, oh my God, you're kidding me. There's no changes in this song. And then it kind of hit me. I'm like, you know, that's kind of, I got to give these boys props because this song only has one gear, no key changes, no minor lift, major lift, no minor fall, no gate posts of any kind. And Vince Neil has found a way to make this into a verse-chorus radio hit, even though it's just the same thing over and over again. And that's what makes those songs tricky because there's no obvious change. You know what I mean? Looks That Kills, the same thing over and over and over and over again. There is no obvious channel. This is the chorus. It's the same riff, pretty much. But Vince just sings differently. So, like, I've got a newfound respect for Motley Crue.
I did enjoy, because I 100% agree with your opinion about Vince Neil and who he looks like.
Oh, I called him the Hard Rock John Lovitz.
Oh, he does.
I mean, that's kind of brutal, but...
He does.
Not wrong.
Well, no, I was riffing on the mic with the audience about Motley Crue, and some of the audience was like, I saw him recently, and that guy couldn't even breathe. He's up there like, you know, shout. And then someone else had said that he spent the whole performance just holding the mic out for the audience to sing because he was too winded.
I was at the show at White River when he did that, and my wife and I finally were like, I want to see Home Sweet Home, but I think I'm done. Like,
it's
this
time
is like,
to go home.
I felt embarrassed
home.
For the band. Like, I felt bad for Mick and Nikki and Tommy because it's like they're playing great. Like, they sound phenomenal. There's
Been dead since '89, so no
but
reason
his hands
to feel
are still
bad.
Alive for some reason.
Oh, that's all animatronic. That's wired into those the big casters they built into his heels when they rolled him out on
next
stage.
Next up at Chuck E. Cheese, Mick Mars.
Yes. It's like the thing from Adam's Family.
That's right.
It's his hands. Yeah. It's his hands. Yeah.
But, I had seen a photo. Remember, I talked about that Jughead show where Motley Crue pulled the switch on him before they were halfway done through their last song.
Yeah.
And from that, I think it was either Pat Collins or Mike Ektronkamp, who used to play in Windowpane. There's a photo of them with Vince Neil. And literally when I saw it, I was like, oh, no way. When did you meet John Lovitz? And of course, there was a lot of laughter. And then I looked again. I'm like, oh, that's not John Lovitz in a blonde wig. That's Vince Neil. But he looks just exactly like John Lovitz.
Oh, look at Master Thespian.
I mean, the guy's got to be. He
John
owns
Lovitz
all this.
With like a wig on.
Wouldn't he just go get lipo sucked? If I had the money, I'd just get it sucked out and put in a jar.
Maybe he doesn't have the money. He did all the Rock of Love stuff. I mean.
No, Vince Neil. He owns Michaels. Like Tropicana suntan oil.
No, Vince Neil.
Vince Neil's really sharp.
I remember seeing a reality show about him doing. Going through plastic surgery and also trying to do weight loss. And like he did do stuff.
Yeah, leave the face alone. But I mean, dude, if I could afford it, I'd be like, hey, man, I need an X-Acto knife and a shop vac.
Yep, suck it out.
And let's just get rid of this because I've been doing the crunches and it ain't working. Of course, it might be, you know, the burritos and whiskey. But
right, God, he does look like John Lovitz.
I'm telling you.
Wig.
Imagine him in that little Red Devil costume.
Let me see.
Oh my God! Just any, just like Google image search, ones.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, other than the fact that he's got a little bit of a mustache and a 5 o'clock shadow. For
that's
some
so
of
he
it.
Doesn't look like John Lovitz.
But he still does.
Honestly, Motley Crue should just get John to come front the band at
it
this point.
It stinks.
Oh wow,
that's just like right on there.
Yeah, he's like, a you just hard put rock a little John
bit
Lovitz.
You put a little bit of a frown on him.
Put a little bit of a frown.
Remember John Lovitz would wear that devil costume on Saturday Night Live? I just want Vince to wear that at every performance, and I swear to God, I'd never miss another. Well. I've only ever seen the one. That's because my buddies were playing it. I'm not a big Crew. I mean, I respect them now because I look at what they do to build their
songs.
They
got a great greatest hits.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
They were both on Celebrity Apprentice at the same time, too.
No, they weren't.
That's
John Lovitz and Vince Neil?
Yeah.
I wonder if they were, like, John Lovitz was stepping into a phone booth and becoming Vince Neil. I wonder if that's what was going on.
Were they ever seen in the same scene? Well, or was it just one guy and they just put a wig on John Lovitz and said it was Vince Neil?
Yeah.
There's Pinterest things that are just Vince Neil totally looks like John Lovitz because I put both their names in the search and the first thing was John Lovitz frustrates Vince Neil on Celebrity Apprentice.
Why do you look like me without hair?
But yeah, look at that. It's like the first picture right there. Oh, they just weird. They actually just straight they up do a side by side.
Oh, man. Yeah, there is a side by side.
Do you think they were cloned and it's
just want Vince to wear that little devil costume? That would make me so happy.
Bro, one time John Lovitz came in, it was the weirdest experience.
You sure it wasn't Vince Neil?
You know, it could have been.
Right?
Lovitz comes in.
I just said that. That's a diehard KSW listener joke. If you didn't get it, I'm sorry. Vince Neil did this amazing interview with the Men's Room guys where he was just really unpleasant.
Like, yeah.
Just really unpleasant.
Bro, one time we interviewed Vince Neil, and he was promoting his book. And I asked him a question about the book where, like, there was a certain thing that he shared. And I'm like, oh, Bob, I was hoping you could tell the story about... I don't know, let's just say about Nikki having sex with your sister or something like whatever it was. He goes, that never happened. And I'm like,
page 97.
I think I read it in your book that he's like, no, that never happened. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, my bad. I must have just misread it. My bad, right? Finish the interview. I go back and I find, because I highlighted the things that I wanted
to
talk about.
That book was probably ghostwritten.
Found it.
Oh,
found
God,
the
yeah.
exact line, and I even put it on Twitter like, hey, this is the thing I asked Vince Neil about that he said he did not do. And it was exactly that.
I don't know if Vince Neil's just burnt out, but I could picture me in a scenario where I'd be like,
I think you're right.
Ghost dude, writer. Are you sure? That never happened. But I'd be like, dude, are you sure? Oh, yeah, I read it in your book. Oh, man. I don't remember writing that book. I mean, I could see a ton of ways we could have so much fun with that interview and make it. The other one that broke my heart, because, man.
Joe Perry.
The Men's Room got Joe Perry, and I literally pulled over and parked along the side of the road to hear the Men's Room Joe Perry interview, because I'm like, dude, Joe Perry. The whole interview went like this. Yeah, horses, money, Steven, money, horses. Yeah. Money. And those guys, it was like they were poking a bloated corpse with a stick, trying to get Joe Perry. And horses, my horse ranch, money, Steven, money.
You're listening to
it was terrible. Honestly, and I still love Aerosmith, but honestly, when that interview was over, I was like, man, F that guy.
Yeah.
It was so sad for me. Like, dude.
It sucks when you find out that stuff, too. Like, you're, like, really looking forward to somebody being on and talking, and they're just.
Oh, I was so excited. Like, oh, dude. And yeah, Miles.
Spending money on the show.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Down with that.
Would you get your penis pierced?
I think that's it.
I don't think
that's not it. No, but I mean, dude, I listened to Miles and Thrill literally trying to. So hey, man, you know, let's talk about. And they weren't asking him the stock Aerosmith questions. They were trying to engage the guy in any way they could.
And show that they actually
follow.
All
right, then let's see. We're going to beam our satellite somewhere and talk to the one and only Joe Perry, some point, the Hollywood vampire.
I think Miles even was like, dude, do you need some coffee or something? He's like, yeah, it is pretty early here.
Well, let's take out a little bit of this.
It was so, it broke my heart.
I'll just fast forward to like.
That's why we ended up buying the farm up in Vermont. So,
money.
But we just haven't had time to be up there
horses.
In the last couple of years to do some of the things we wanted to do there. So, being out in L.A. and having the opportunity to...
I don't know if I'm giving him enough credit.
This
is not bad.
All right, let's go ahead and love it.
And I just wanted to kind of change the I mean, there's a lot of times that when, you get a phone call and they go, hey, do you want to play with Pitbull next week? Well, okay.
Party.
Yeah.
And you played with him. You played with him a couple weeks ago too, right? You were on Jimmy Fallon.
Fighting so hard.
You played with him in Miami the other night, didn't you?
They were trying so hard to get him. You know.
At least
to
sort
be
of like
engaging.
Maybe you don't have to be excited, but maybe more than just
act like you're happy to talk to people.
Well, what I came away with was I'm rich, I own horses, here's another something about Steven Tyler. And I just wanted to be like, Joe, tell me the story about getting that vintage 59 Les Paul back from Slash. Tell me that story. I read it in your book. It was fascinating. Steven.
Yeah. Dude, one time when I got to interview Tommy Lee.
Money.
And it was a similar thing. I think it's with Motley Crue. They don't know what they write in their book. And I was interviewing him when I was on Andy Savage's
show. That was Tommy.
And
nice fella?
Super nice. But this time he was not like his typical self. Like he was kind of like whatever. And we were talking about the book. And I was asking questions. And he kept going, you're just going to have to read the book.
It's probably ghostwritten.
He's going to have to keep reading. And I kept asking questions. I'm like, these are great stories. I did my homework so that you can share stories about your book.
Money.
And he's like, exactly.
Horses.
So the interview ends, and I thought we hung up, but apparently Andy didn't hit the button properly. So the interview ends. I think we hung up, and I go, man, I don't think that guy even read his own book. And then all of a sudden I hear, I'm still here.
Yeah!
And I'm like, hey. Well,
did you read your book?
Yeah, that guy doesn't pay any of your bills. Yeah. You could have been like, well,
it was
ghostwritten. I needed to check.
I have awful luck. And it's, remember the Patton Oswalt interview where he was just like, he was just not into doing an interview. And then I thought BJ hung up the phone. And I go, wow, that really sucked. And BJ's like, yeah, that was not very good. I'm like, that was terrible. Why
the guy was still on the line.
And he goes, and then all of a sudden, like, we're like riffing for about like 30 seconds about how much that interview sucked. And then you hear in the I'm still here, you guys.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, what do you do? It's like, you piss or get off the pot. So you got to say something. So we're like, man, yeah, dude, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, you having a bad day?
All you can do is roll with it.
And I got to give him respect. He says, I don't like doing interviews. I didn't want to do this interview, but Comedy Central's making me do these interviews so that I could sell this DVD that they put out of mine. But if it was up to me, I wouldn't do any interviews. I don't like doing them.
Yeah.
And then we're like, all right, I respect that. Like,
If
you don't like doing interviews and the company is forcing you to do interviews because that's part of the deal, I would probably be pretty miserable too.
Yeah.
But, that was awkward.
Patton has a really weird interaction with radio anyway. There was an old documentary it was him, Brian Posehn, Zach Galifianakis.
Kings of Comedy.
Yeah. And
it's a great documentary.
It's really amazing. And he went to like a Portland station and they brought the cameras along with them, and he sits down and he sits on a whoopee cushion because the dude in the studio thought it would be funny.
Did he not dig that?
Oh gosh, no. Like, it was hilarious because at that point he's like, oh, so this is how it's gonna be. He takes the whoopee cushion, puts it on the counter, and then just props his feet up, and it's just like, whatever, here we go for another dumb interview.
Yep.
And it's just, he gets all salty, and I find it highly entertaining.
Right. It was awkward at its finest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was a great piece.
Nice.
Yeah. I want to tell you guys about last night's wrestling practice. Something very awkward happened.
Wrestling bonus?
He forward rolled with such speed that he traveled through time to the moment before his forward roll.
Well, that clearly is not true. You guys have seen how I forward roll.
Which is his new move where you blink and he's still just standing there and you're like, you like that? But the other guy's laying there in a pile.
Yeah.
It's like, how did Steve do that?
He's still forward rolling.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
They call it the rolling thunder.
Nice.
So yesterday we learned how to hit without actually hitting. So what they did, they had like a heavy bag.
I wish you would learn that on me every time you're like, Glenn, check out what I learned. Whack!
So you like learn, like, you know, you get a full fist and you're going into it with full force, but the way you position yourself, it's like there's not a lot of impact and you kind of open up your hand when you hit. So it's like you're hitting.
Do you stomp your foot at the same time to make the ring make a loud noise?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Our guy's like, that's very 80s. He's like, with kicks, it makes sense. With punches, it seems hokey. But I think they look cool when you stomp and you punch.
I agree.
It's wrestling. That's
old
what you
school.
Do. Yeah, I'm an old school kind of guy.
There you
I'm
go.
42. I'm a
in
guy.
2017, we stick more with makeshift knives, shivs, you know.
So I'm practicing.
Shanks.
I'm practicing. Well, now all of a sudden we're in the ring and they're like, okay, now it's time to apply it. So the thing was, your opponent is in the corner on the turnbuckle and you have to strike them three times, however you want to do it. You could do an elbow, you could do a forearm, you could do a kick. Well, I was practicing my kicks and I was working on my forward kick, and really I was nailing it on the heavy bag. I was like, I'm just barely tapping it. The heavy bag's not even moving, but it looks aggressive.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to put that one out there, and it's going to be awesome. So my buddy Hero, who's been wrestling for a while, he's great. He's become a great friend and a great resource, a great mentor in this world of wrestling because he's helping me. You know, the coach is obviously helping a lot, Coach Steele, but Hero's able to pull me aside when Coach is dealing with other people and be like, hey, I noticed what you're doing wrong, and you should try doing this.
That's
like,
cool.
Thank you. Great guy. So he's the guy I got to hit. So I go in for the kick, and I miss him by like 3 inches. And they're all like, no, 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 no. You got to hit him. You can't.
Oh, no.
You know, you got to connect.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
right. So I'm like, I'm going to go back to when I was with the heavy bag and do this. And I go in and kick him. And, you know, part of his job is to then act like as if I just hurt him.
Yeah, you got
to
sell it.
So he hunches over, goes, oh, and I'm like,
you kicked the hell out of him, didn't you?
I knocked the wind out of him with my kick.
But you went from, like, not being close to him and then just full-on booting him.
Hard, jerk.
Overcompensate a little bit there, buddy. Oh, I'm not doing it right here. Try this.
Yeah, right, right. You guys told me. I never felt worse.
Oh, Steve.
Because it's like,
yeah, right.
I can just imagine you with your head, because I know you, man. I bet you felt so bad.
Because I give a crap. So everyone's laughing. But all I'm thinking is,
he hates me.
Right.
The one just guy. Broke the, snapped off this guy's xiphoid process. It's now floating around in his sternum, man. You know?
The one guy who has been, I mean, not that everybody's been great, but the one guy who's gone above and beyond for me.
Yeah, right.
And you I just knocked him. I just full on booted him in the stomach.
Good acting, bro. Oh,
you're not acting. Shoot. And he's like, you know, he.
I wonder how he gets that squirt of urine to go on command like that. Oh,
really
I kicked him. I've ruptured. Sure to
kill that,
exactly, man.
Oh. So after he got his breath back, I was like, bro, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. He's like, that's fine. He's like, you do it again, though, I'm doing it back to you.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's only fair at that point.
Yeah,
I'll get
that is.
One. You get
that's
one.
Fair. It's nice of him to give him the one, actually.
And honestly, I was like, dude,
I know, right?
I'm okay if you do it to me now. I deserve it.
Oh,
but so
man.
That was funny. But then I'm pretty sure Coach kind of gave me like a quote-unquote receipt for what I did to Hero. Because then afterwards he comes and he goes, okay, now we're going to have something that's not so much fun, but I need you guys to do it because it's just part of the rite of passage of becoming a wrestler. And so he's like, you're basically going to run through a quick drill of me attacking you and then throwing you all the way down to the other end and you slam into the turnbuckle. I'm like, okay, well, we've practiced this before, but he was going to go full bore, almost full bore.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody else started in the turnbuckle, but for some reason he had me not start in the turnbuckle, and he fully just kicks me into the turnbuckle.
And yeah, I'm like, yeah, yeah.
All right, I deserve that.
Yeah.
Then he comes in and he like you know gives me a hit, and like, you know you're connecting. It's kind of fun to like experience what it's like to like what I see on television that looks like a solid hit, and it's like wow, you feel it, but it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he hits me again, and then he just pull on Ric Flair. Chop across the chest, right? And it was like a stunt. I mean, I had a shirt on, but and he did it to everybody. But like,
yeah,
I was
you might have got a little extra love in there. Maybe.
I don't know, maybe. And it was again deservingly so. Like that's part of wrestling. Oh. You need to learn not to hurt your opponent,
right?
And boy, oh boy, that thing stung. And of course, like you got to ham it up. In that instance, I didn't really have to ham it up. I'm like, oh!
Squirt of urine on command.
Yeah, exactly.
Throws me against
the
turnbuckle.
That's how you learn how to do that.
It was awesome, though. I was on cloud nine. I'm like, this is real. Like, this is actually happening.
That's great, man.
I go home, take off my shirt to take a shower before I go to bed. Full on, I see his hand.
His hand is still on my chest.
Up there, just wham.
The Unity ring imprint on his sternum.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. So much fun. Rev, how's your week been?
My week's been pretty good. Yesterday was kind of chaotic because I had not necessarily an impromptu family reunion. We knew this was planning out. My great aunt was doing a little bit of a cruise from Alaska and coming down. And so she was like, well, me and the husband are coming to come down. Let's hang out with everyone. I was like, oh, sweet. And she was like, well, we can all come over to your place. And I was like, all right, perfect. We've got room now in this house.
In fact, we're going to stay here for about 3 months.
We're coming down to snuff the rooster.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. Luckily, that didn't happen or anything like that. But we, so we got that. So we showed up there. They showed up. And then more people showed up. And more people showed up.
Oh, you had a house full.
Suddenly, there's
like a clown car coming into your house.
There's 12 people in my house, us included, Michelle and I included. And it's just like,
there's suddenly no room. Everyone's sitting, everyone has like seats, but it was like pulling out like the office chairs, getting ottomans for everyone.
How stressed is Michelle getting?
Oh, uber stressed.
Right.
And because she was
woman
like,
woman of the house.
And it's like, how many people are showing up? And I was like, anywhere between 2 and 7 at the most. And suddenly we've got a dozen. And to her credit, she had the best idea. And it was, well, I know we're going to get some food or something for everyone and get some pizzas. Why don't we just go to the pizza place? So we went to Louis G's.
Hey, there you go.
And they've
go.
Got that huge open area.
Yeah.
Save the day.
Problem
that was,
solver, yeah, Michelle.
She is. And it was amazing. But it was cool just to hang out with family that I haven't normally hung out with, even though a bunch of them are in Tacoma. It was just really nice to hang out with family and everyone just did normal things.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Which just is kind of a relief.
Yeah.
Oh God, I forgot.
What kind of pizza did you get first?
We got the Louis G's. Which is the meat on meat on meat on meat on meat one.
That's how I like my women.
It's the clogged artery. Yeah. Can I get the clogged artery special?
A veggie one. They're mama's veggie. And I know they have one that's like pizza. Alfredo sauce and chicken. I can't remember the name of the Lucky. It's the Lucky.
The yeah. Lucky.
And it's so good. We got way too much pizza, but it's fine. I mean, I got
Louis G's pizza.
Now.
Is so freaking
it is.
Good.
It is actually
great.
Really killer, man.
It is so good. And it's like the guy who what's the guy's name that runs Louis
Pete.
G's? Pete
owns it. He's a sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
And every time I eat his pizza, he's like, how's everything? I'm like, dude, it's incredible. And he's always like, no, it's not that good. And I'm like,
yeah,
no,
it is
bro,
good, man.
It is that good. It's
well,
so,
I think
he's such a humble, nice
all
guy.
All of Louis' recipes, I think he made sure to honor all that. So I don't think the quality
they're
of the food.
Great. It's great.
The quality's incredible.
Yeah, it's really killer, man.
The other big thing, they tore down the whorehouse.
What,
oh,
by your
really?
House?
Yes.
Huh?
The double wide that was...
So it's just a lot now.
It is just
so
a lot.
Are all the whores now staying at your place as well?
Or no, like, okay. There was a hard pass on that one.
So does crazy neighbor lady, is she quiet now that the whores are gone?
Oh, goodness, no. Oh, no, she can still go to war with whomever she wants to, and she does.
It's just whether if you're a miserable person, you'll find out the reason.
You'll
to be
find
miserable.
Something.
Come down
know.
There and sort her out, man.
Oh,
I want
no,
my friend
no,
to live
no,
in
no,
peace.
No. That's like when
they
the mom
find
shows
the body.
That's like when mom shows up and says, hey, stop picking on my boy. That's just going to incur even
I'm
more
I'm not
going
to talk to her, dude. I'm going to shoot her from 300 yards away.
Well, you can't do it now because you just said it. Now it's going to look a little weird now that it
happens.
He
doesn't listen to the show, and neither do the police. Besides,
he didn't say when he's going to do
it's
it.
It's the perfect alibi to confess to the crime before. What, you think I'm dumb enough to announce that I'm going to shoot her and then shoot her? Besides which, after her body drops dead, cold, and lifeless onto the lawn, I'm just going to scoop her up in a wheelbarrow, put her in my oversized trunk, drive her out to the middle of Washington somewhere where it's nothing but deserts and wheat fields, and bury her.
The
There'll
proper
be a little
way.
Green patch.
Well, a respectful way.
I'll just make sure and say I've never met anybody that would ever do that ever in my life when it does the
I was hoping there would be some sort of monetary value assigned to my efforts. I was hoping you would just give me a little kickback.
Rev, What spawned the tearing down of the whorehouse?
I
never got to go.
I really
I got out
don't
just
know.
In time. It was so, like Poltergeist, man. This blue light appeared right as I ran out and just sucked all the hooers right into it. Man.
It was. I don't know what caused it. It could have been the neighbor, but we don't really. It's strange because we're kind of in this void where we're on Puyallup Tribal Indian land.
Yeah.
So it was like Poltergeist,
it
man.
It could have been, but they don't like.
You look out, the trees eating a child.
Like
that's my kind of neighborhood.
Like. Tacoma police and
why
that,
is
Groot
eating that child?
They won't necessarily. It's not that they won't respond to something. If there's like an emergency call, you will do something. But if you do like sort of violations and stuff like that,
they
really
don't
necessarily do that.
You call them up. There's hookers across the street. They're like, we know we're in there right now.
Yeah. Like, don't worry about that.
Don't worry, man. The poltergeist thing's going to just suck that house right up. Give it about a month, sir.
So what I'm thinking at this point is that there have been a bunch. One of the lots, empty lots next to us, has been getting worked on as well. Lawn cut. They had an excavator out there trying to, you know, clean it up a little bit because it was a bit of a wreck. And then suddenly, there's just an excavator on this lot next to the double-wide whorehouse. And so we're thinking maybe somebody bought both of these properties and are cleaning them up because they just took the excavator and just leveled it in an afternoon.
And quick aside, double-wide whorehouse would be the best name for a whorehouse ever.
Yeah, it's
double wide whorehouse.
Double wide whorehouse.
There's a bunch of them in Nevada.
For large women and the men who love them.
Or for women who have large, you know what skis. Hot dog in a hallway.
Wide.
Wow. That's another name.
A 4x4 in a gymnasium.
But yeah, it's all cleaned
that's
up.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it looks like maybe they'll do something with the lot. Who knows
no
at this point?
More but horrors, Darren.
What he doesn't know is that I've bought the lots and I'm planning to install carnival rides.
Yay.
That's what's going to go down.
You know what? Way better
all
than
night
the
carnival
horror
rides.
Yeah, yeah, man. I'll have the salt and pepper shaker. They're like, meow, meow. You ever look at those things and there's rust on all the major parts? You're like, is that safe? I'm getting on it, but is that safe?
The ones that show up just in the mall parking lots or wherever.
Yeah, you know, it's like, are you going to ride the death trap? Oh, I'm thinking it's safe. No, it's called the death trap. You know,
you will probably die. 3 confirmed fatalities last week.
Oh, well, I'm in. I think once I buckle into that thing, it'll be safe.
Yeah, right? It's got seatbelts, right? No.
You just crawl over the blood and dried vomit.
But yeah, that's like the most exciting things that have happened this week.
Congrats, man.
A little family
that's
reunion
huge.
And then no more horse.
A little Herb and renewal going on down there, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, family.
So what's the story
goodbye
with the
horse.
Rooster? Has the rooster been removed yet?
Nope. Rooster's still going on. But I do know that Crazy across the street, she was loudly proclaiming about animal control. So I think that she's put in her yelling face
somebody,
on for that as
you
well.
Somebody can control
you can
these
control.
Cocks.
You can control that animal. Just grab it by its head and spin it.
We can't find it right now. It was in an area like they've got a back coop area.
Maybe it followed the horse.
Rev just can't go find the rooster.
They might be
you know
storing it indoors in their little area. Like it, you can hear it. You can clearly hear it somewhere. But we just don't know where it is. So we think they kind of stashed it somewhere, even though how the hell are you going to
stash it? It's the poltergeist closet, man.
It's the poltergeist closet.
The poltergeist.
Yeah, so I'll come over with some tennis balls. I'll write numbers on them. I'll chuck them in the closet, and then they'll pop out downstairs in the living room.
What it is?
Tie a rope to me. I'll go in there and get a damn rooster. And then we'll eat the thing, man.
Glenn Cannon, problem solver.
I'm trying, man. Oh, dude, I'll pop out all covered in Knox gelatin holding that rooster. I'll be like, this house is clear.
I got to say, if
a ghillie suit just squeaking up there.
Typically, I would deny a meal that involves eating rooster. But if you go through all those leaps and bounds and measures to make that happen, I'll eat the rooster with you.
Stringy meat.
Are you waving a ginger beard over
there?
Yeah,
he put his glasses on sideways and smiled at me. That's his I just played Livewire look, I think.
Hey, John, before I want to check out what's going on your world, I wanted to read this. It's about you, and I grabbed it off of your Facebook page.
Is it a police report?
It is.
Oh,
God. This report comes from 10:40 in the morning. Your buddy Jason wrote this on your page, and I thought it was a great story, and I was like, I'm going to grab this because I think it's an awesome,
this is
awesome
rad.
Story.
Yeah, my buddy Jason Spies that I went to high school with. Awesome guy.
Really nice guy.
He and his wife live down in Central Florida now, and they flew all the way out to be at the Showbox show.
How cool
and
is that?
And I hadn't seen him since graduation. So we hung out. I got him, you know, backstage. I introduced him to everyone I could. Him and his wife, Kim, had a wonderful time. And then the next night, Tawny and I met them for dinner and just had a lovely, just sat for like 3 hours and talked. It was great.
That's so nice.
It was so cool to meet him.
Yeah.
I was really pumped when I ran into you. You were there with him, and it was like when you told me who he was, I was like, awesome,
man.
So when I saw this post on your Facebook page, I was like, that is so cool. So he wrote on Glenn's page, "Windowpane's influence is reaching farther than you know. After dealing with a hectic but constructive day of dealing with new house issues here in Jacksonville, Aiden and I are driving in our pickup truck going through the local Chick-fil-A." As this is his choice for dinner. We pull up to the drive-thru window and pay, and my wallet's on the center console sitting next to all of my recent window pane CDs I purchased at this past Saturday's show. As I rummage through past the CDs, the 19-something-year-old who's about to take my debit card says, and I crap you not, wow, you listen to window pane? Again, remember, this is in Jacksonville,
Florida.
My reply was not only yes, yes, all caps,
yes.
But I just flew out to Seattle to catch Windowpane play live at the Showbox, and then I got to go backstage, meet not only the band, but see my friends from school, who one is the lead singer and the other plays bass in the band. The kid's mouth hit the floor. He told me that his dad raised him on Motley Crue. Livewire. Dad raised him on Motley Crue, but Windowpane is one of his favorite bands that he listens to. Just thought I'd share with you and let you guys know that the bug is biting here on the East Coast. Keep rocking.
That's so cool. Yeah,
what
I saw
that.
It's
gotta
like,
be a hoot, man.
Dude, really? You know, yeah, it just makes us you know, half really excited and half more frustrated because how in the name of God are we going to reach all these people, right? We want to get out on the road as soon as we can, and then even then we got to look at, you know, whether we're going to be able to do a successful tour by just hitting all the markets we've hit when we've done the larger tours in the past.
Right.
A big goal of mine is to get to the East Coast because you guys have heard the term megalopolis. I mean,
it's insane. Yeah. You could crank out like a bunch of states in just a week.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You drive 40 minutes and you're in a whole new market.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You can play three states in one day if you really time it out.
Even if you're doing it completely independently and you're only making a couple $100 a night, you're styling.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really want to get over to the East Coast and tour. It's just a matter of trying to make that happen, which I'll update as they come, which, you know, in a cool way. You know, so Windowpane's got our follow-up to Showbox down at Jazz Bones in Tacoma.
July 15th.
With July 15th, that'll be with Mom's Rocket. We love those guys. And then Anti-Hero. I mean, we love those guys. Yeah, exactly.
My boy Double J on drums.
Totally a family affair, man.
Tim on box. Yeah.
So, but then we are actually being flown by a promoter from Western Maryland back to play a big summer festival outdoor band blitz that they're putting on, and that'll be July 22nd. We're being flown basically to within a few miles of my hometown to play this big festival.
Nice. You gonna have any time to go to your old haunts or anything like
that?
Oh,
yeah, guaranteed, man.
What's the one place you got to go to when you get back?
Could
be a food place, could be a double wide whorehouse.
Oh man, yeah, I know. They tore it down. They're just
shipping container.
There's a weird blue star about 30 feet off the ground above it. No, there's a place called Curtis's, but it's Curtis's Coney Island Hot Dogs, right? It's in downtown Cumberland.
Uh huh.
And they used to call them the Coney Island Sweats. And the reason they called them that, and this is just urban legend, right? But the guy, as he made all the dogs, he would line up his arm and he'd tuck the last dog in his armpit to get him out there. And that's an urban legend, but
yeah,
Coney Island Sweats.
Yeah.
Like when I was a little kid, my dad would take me in there and sit me on the bar stool and I'd get three chili dogs and a chocolate milk.
Oh.
And the place is still there.
Sounds
it still
naughty.
Exists.
Yeah, right.
And so I got to go get me some Coney Island Sweats. Beyond that, I'll probably try and hit just some of the venues Windowpane played when we first started out. You know, I always like to drive by my high school for some reason, you know, mainly to stalk the teenage girls that are lingering there.
Seeing if they're still impressed by you and your guitar skills.
Yeah,
not so much.
They're impressed by the rag that's covered in chloroform. Miss, does this smell weird to you?
I did that with my wife once we went down to Tacoma and I was showing
her around. You chloroformed her?
Not the chloroform, no. We're talking about going to the old places, the old haunts.
Yeah, Michelle still doesn't know she's married to the rag.
I know.
Yeah. She's been numb this whole time.
Did she enjoy it, or was she like, "Yeah, this is fascinating"?
Yeah. Kind of like that. Yeah, it was like I'm like, "This is where we used to live, and this is where we used to live. We moved a lot. Here's another place where we used to live, and just all of those different places." And yeah, she probably didn't give a crap, but I was entertained by all of it.
I just did that when we were in Wallingford. I was like, "Do you want to see the house that I one of the first house? Like, I think it was the second house I lived in because I lived in a house in Broadview." And then left that. Then I crashed in my own car for a little bit, not very long, but just for a little bit. And then eventually moved into this house in on Wallingford on Ashworth, 41st and Ashworth.
That was the one you stayed in the basement, right?
Right. The basement was 5 feet high, and I'm 6'3".
Nice.
And that was my and I slept right next to this other.
It's
dude's
like
drum
being
set.
John Malkovich, man. Yeah, he was on the 13th and a half floor.
Yeah. My bed was right next to my buddy Todd's drum set.
Oh, man.
So it was kind of cool. If I wanted to play drums, he let me play them. And he lived in like a little nook in the basement, also 6-something. The two of us, like, he built like this little fort, like, out of like just random books and things like that. It was very weird. And we had another guy living in the garage, and he wouldn't talk to any of us because he was practicing to become a monk. Everybody else was a vegetarian.
It's cool, though. You know, the monk's probably not going to steal your stuff.
No.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're missing a pair of socks and a sandwich, the monk probably didn't take that stuff.
Good point.
You know?
Well, anyway, so like I lived there for a while because then eventually I was able to graduate to the first floor and have a ceiling that I could stand in. It was nice. It better for my posture. But sure. But I was like, "Do you want to see it?" She's like, "Yeah, absolutely." And we drove by it, man. It just felt weird. It, like, just from the outside, I didn't even go in. Just from the outside, you could tell whoever lived in there now, it wasn't like 8 or 9 random hippies and Steve.
Yeah.
It was an actual family or a person, and it was like nice. Everything was painted, and it was like
that was when I went to the high school.
Weird, man.
Like the high school and the junior high, because I went to Curtis, so I was showing all off that down in University Place, and it was so weird because they literally switched the fields to the other side of the property. So I'm like driving. It's like, oh, this is where the things are.
What?
So the football field, I'm like, that's not where that goes. And that I was just like, well, I went here. And it's
be
not
funny if they purposely did that just to mess with their alumni.
It could have been. It was so weird.
You're making me realize I should drive by the House of Ill Repute up in Mount Savage, where we were all in the
Mount Savage.
Mount Savage.
Awesome.
So between the Cumberland Valley and then at the top of the hill is Frostburg, where Frostburg State College is and all that, which is interesting because right around the time I was playing there, which would have been, I don't want to say the years, but it was actually voted in the top 10 party schools in America in Playboy magazine.
Dude, my old college.
That's when
got
I was running
too.
Around. I'm like, what? Frostburg State? Really?
Dude, Plattsburgh State came in at number one at one point.
Yeah, think about it. I'm like, you know, it was pretty wild up there.
Is it just because it's so close to Canada?
It was because we just had this insane St. Patrick's Day party. To the point where they decided to make spring break on St. Patrick's Day around that time to avoid that party.
Oh, dude.
I wasn't a student then. It was like many years before me, but apparently it was like insane.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, no. But yeah, we all moved into this little house in Mount Savage.
That's the best name.
It gets better. Right? We were on Woodcock Hollow Road.
Oh my gosh.
Window Pane lived on Woodcock Hollow Road. And that's we called real. The House of Ill Repute. The things that went on in that house.
We had one of those too.
Oh man. I mean, you can't even begin to imagine some of the things that went on in that house. So, I mean, I think I've told the story about and this is one of the more like, oh my God, I don't want to ever know that guy's stories. But when dead of winter and the gas furnace went out and we didn't have any heat, so we pulled the oven out as far as we could from the wall and dropped the oven door and put it on broil and put a box fan on the oven door. And everyone slept on the floor in front of that oven, you know, to sort of not die.
Yeah,
and,
it's like a crack house minus the crack.
Oh, dude, there was an area. The laundry room was sealed off. You just didn't go in there anymore because Mark had, we had a cat named Sam up there. And then I think some laundry fell in the litter box and the cat pooed on the laundry and someone went, I'm not cleaning that up. And you know, imagine a bunch of 19 to 20 year old guys living together.
Yeah, they would rather just box off the room and so say then it's a loss.
The laundry on top of the cat box developed mushrooms and it was growing stuff, so we just sealed that room off. You didn't go in there.
We eat them, they get weird.
There was literally handwritten sign that hung in the shower. There was a stick man masturbating and it said no beating off in the shower. And the reason
clogs the pipes.
No, we were all hanging out. We were all hanging out in the living room. And
I hear it's good for athlete's foot.
Oh, dude. So,
I thought it was just peeing.
Tony Reed. Tony Reed almost, he was Windowpane's original guitarist. You probably heard me mention him before. Mm-hmm. It's funny that we had Tony Reed and Tony Abreu. So, but Tony was, you know, a cut. He was almost a professional soccer player. He was going to be a pro athlete. He blew his knee out, and then he missed his ride and his window, and that was kind of his. But the guy was in amazing shape and a super awesome guy, really funny, had a hell of a temper. So we're all sitting around chilling, and Tony appears kind of in the archway that connected the kitchen to the living room, and then the bathroom was off the kitchen. And he's soaking wet, nude. He's covering his unit with a towel. And he is really pissed. Like, really, just, what the F? What the hell? And we're all like, whoa. And it was literally, which one of you guys beat off in the goddamn shower? And he was livid. So he goes on to explain, which you got to imagine, you don't want to laugh because he'll kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
but you're looking at this vision. And
he is
like,
not the guy to make mad. But basically, he had ran himself a nice hot bath. And he said he was soaking in the tub, and you know, your torso is submerged, but maybe your shoulders, head, and neck are above the water, and then your knees are above the water. So he said he looked down as he was soaking the tub, and there was a load floating on the water.
No!
So he's like, you know, but he said no matter what he did to try and move, the load would float towards him.
Yeah.
So he had to negotiate the situation and slip out from under this thing without it touching his body. And he was, I mean, beyond pissed.
Yeah. Like, I know that's what will happen if you, like,
I will kill you. Because I think it took him about 10 minutes to negotiate this situation because when he'd start to stand up, it would float towards him. And the way he would imitate it, you know, like he'd make a little wave with his hand the way that load was floating towards him, he was really mad.
Why is the swim team still following me?
Oh, dude, and seriously, I was like, hey, man, all I can say is it's not me. I always use a sock. In the privacy of my room, dude. So it wasn't me.
Yeah. So don't touch my socks.
But don't wear my socks.
No one ever copped to it either.
Who wanted that point?
Yeah. You know, it's just some of the things that went on in that. Like Zach, our sound guy, who was a little unhinged as a person anyway, but like the living room there was paneling.
It was probably him then.
And he got it in his head that he didn't like that paneling. So I come home from work and he had taken a claw hammer and started pulling down all the paneling. So on a couple of the walls, you just had sheetrock with huge glue spots on it. But what he didn't know, what none of us knew, was on the frontmost wall of the house, the paneling was just nailed to the studs. So I walk in, there's all these holes, big holes in the wall that are exposing studs and insulation. And I'm like, Zach.
Come on, man.
It's a rental house.
Oh.
Was the paneling that bad? You know, oh, man, I couldn't stand it. I'm like, why? So, of course, you hang banners and drapes and stuff. Dude. When we moved out of that house, like slowly we all began. Mark, I think, was the first one out. He's like, I'm out. I was out. Tony and Zach stayed the longest. Brian Muir, our drummer, was out. And then I went with my dad's pickup truck and we got Tony and Zach out.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that anyone didn't want was just abandoned, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Brian had left his drum riser up there and he's like, Glenn, man, you got to go get my drum riser. I'm like, dude, I'm not going back up there. No, dude, you have to. So off I go to Mount Savage to Woodcock Hollow Road. And I just did a drive-by of our house. And literally, it looked like they were having a yard sale. The whole front yard was just all this random crap. And they had hung yellow police tape over all the entrances that said disaster area.
Awesome.
And I just went, I did not get the drum riser.
Keep rolling.
Yeah. I just went right on by. And he's, you get my drum riser? I'm like, dude, no.
The biohazard crews in the past. That's all you have to say is,
you can't, you know, and I'm only, you know, I told a funny story, but some of the things that transpired in that house were just mind-blowing and obscene and terrible. And we were all also sick for about 6 months after that because they had horses and it was a well water home.
Oh,
and I don't know if you've ever seen a horse take a leak, but it's really quite horrifying. I mean,
yeah, it's a power
unit,
wash.
The unit is the size of my arm.
It's like a never-ending super soaker.
And it's like a hose.
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't figure out when we all moved out. We were all kind of sick for like 6 months. You know, we're all like, we all have AIDS. We're all going to get tested. We're trying to figure out why we're sick.
Yeah.
Well, we were sick because it was a well. And the horses had been urinating onto that property for years, that was soaking into the water table.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I mean we're all fine now, but we didn't feel very good for a while.
Yeah.
You know, the members of the windowpane. Oh, those guys, are they okay? They just don't seem to feel very well.
Windowpane drinks horse pee and gives everyone syphilis.
It was so.
Yeah, it's weird. Everyone, whenever a member of windowpane sees a bale of hay, they get hungry.
The owner of the property would come up and I called it watering the horses because I was like, what? But they would turn on the water for the horses and then they would forget to turn it off and they'd run our well dry. So we'd come home and you couldn't flush the toilet. I remember Tony and Zach went down to the creek that ran behind the property and I'm talking ice cold. No, they bathed in the creek.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just stuff like that, man. And then, you know, it was one of those, look, man,
they definitely didn't have athlete's
foot. When we don't have water, please don't poo. And then I think it was probably Brian Muir was like, no way, man. And he would poo in the toilet anyway.
Right off.
And you'd come home and then there's a toilet full of poo and there's no water to flush it, and then you have to fill the tank with water from the creek.
Oh, I thought you got the horse, and then he peed in the toilet. Well, again, everyone pees into the top.
There was discussion at one point of making someone dig all that out of there with a spoon. I don't think that actually went down. Mm. I have audio recordings of Mark having sex with a young lady. One time we mic'd his bedroom and put that through the PA because we rehearsed in the basement while they were having sex. And
yeah, why live with sound people, right?
Oh, it was great too, man. I had it, you know, basically there were hardwood floors and there was a nice big space under Mark's door. So I just took a 58, plugged in an XLR cable and slid it under his door.
Would you guys then go downstairs and start jamming along to the moment?
No, I just went downstairs and, you know, I had a nice hot signal and I threw a bunch of delay on it.
Check out this new track.
I remember her literally going like, you know, like, oh my God, is that me? Is that me? What the hell? And you can hear Mark, ha, 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 ha. And of course, it's delay, ha, 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 just cascading.
Just
and,
filling up the whole
You know, and I used to take my dictaphone and just slide it under his door, and then I'd have audio of him pluging, or, you know, he'd get done pluging, and everyone in the living room would cheer, hey! and we'd all applaud, you know. And
oh, my God.
Things like that.
And mental note not to ever live with Glenn Cannon.
Well, it was a rock and roll band living in a house in the sticks, and all of us were maybe 21 to 24 years old. Tony Reed, I think, was 24. The rest of us were 21.
Yeah, we had a party house, man. It wasn't anything crazy like that, but it was, my buddy, my best friend's house, and they somehow managed, three of them, to get a 5-bedroom house in Tacoma with a yard and a hot tub that sometimes worked, and it would just be for like at least a summer. It was just party every weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Like a set party every weekend. And then during the week, it was, if people are over, then okay, then yeah, we'll party.
I don't think the party ever really stopped at our place, you know? And then there was a lot of hallucinogenics that went on. I think we were talking about acid. And I remember one night, and I don't know why it was important, but like me and Zach had to work and Tony and Brian didn't. And it was like, well, dude, what are we going to do? We got all this acid, and we should really drop at the same time. I'm like, dude, it's totally fine. Zach and I'll drop at work. We'll coordinate it. So when we meet up later, we'll all be in the same place. And I remember calling Tony at about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and he answered. And I'm like, and away we go. Well, Zach was a busboy downstairs at JB's Steak Cellar, which is very dimly lit, little candles on the tables, very dimly lit, and he would wear a tuxedo shirt and tuxedo pants. I was the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm upstairs, and there was Mason's Barn upstairs and JB's Steak Cellar downstairs. Suddenly, I am tripping balls, washing dishes for two busy restaurants. You talk about a bad idea. Dude.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
At one point, I went to wipe my face, and my hand was all bloody, and I'm like, what's that? And I realized I'd just been gnawing at my bottom lip so much because I was tripping
so bloody.
Oh, yeah. I was gnawing at my bottom lip so much because I was tripping balls so hard trying to do my job that I bit through my lip, and I was just pouring blood out of my face.
You look like Andrew W.K.
And I remember going down, because you had to go down this flight of stairs to grab the bus tubs, and I went down there, and I saw Zach, and his eyes were just these giant black shark eyes. And his tuxedo shirt is soaked through with sweat. He's like, oh, dude, it's not good, man. It's not good. And I'm like, calm down. He's like, you don't know what it's like out there, man. I'm walking up to people all, you want some bread? And it's all dimly lit. It's all dark with these candles. So he's like, dude.
The candle light off their faces.
And I'm like, Zach, stay calm. You got to stay calm.
All demons,
he's like, dude, it's so bad out there. It's so bad.
They all want bread with butter. Man,
he was having the, and I remember.
And you're like, whatever, man. My face is bleeding.
Mike Mason, the owner and primary manager, just kept looking at the two of us like, what are you? And obviously, what are you on?
It's not rhetorical at that point.
Oh, yeah. By the time I got Zach out of there, and of course, you know, he closed the downstairs, which stayed up until 11. Then I had to do all the prep and all the kitchen stuff. It was 2 in the morning by the time we got out of there. And it was just like, you talk about a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Zach was just a different, he was like a hollow shell, man. You know, bussing tables, tripping balls in a dark basement, man.
Jeez.
You know,
so. I couldn't do it. Brutal. I couldn't do it. No,
it seemed like such a great idea.
Oh yeah, on paper,
of course. Like, oh dude, that way when we meet up later, you know,
paper,
at least
we'll be great. Yeah, we'll do it. You know, we'll pass the time at work.
Yeah, it was bad. When I was thinking maybe. You
and
know,
now he freaks out anytime he drives by a Panera.
Yeah, crazy. He's like, oh, bread, no.
Yeah, man.
Well, we do our voicemails and our text messages. I got to bone out in about 20 or so minutes. So,
right.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's the Migs Castor.
Stop singing.
Ziggy Ziggy.
It's the Migs Castor.
I think Ziggy even left us a voicemail.
Ooh.
Let's see if it's the first one.
Migs Castor, Ziggy.
Yeah.
Hi, Ziggy.
So, you want to talk tragedy with those little pink cowboy hats?
The paper cowboy hats.
So I'm stupid and stubborn, and even on a hot day, I wear pants. I hate shorts, can't do shorts, pants. Typically, it has to be over 80 for me not to even consider wearing my freaking hoodie. So I went in one day, and you know, I'm like, oh, I'm just using the paper cowboy hat. But I was sweating. I got it's not really
stuck
like
to his backside.
Sweats. It's like the back of the thigh sweats, and so I do my business and I get up, and the freaking thing is stuck to me. And so it's
that's
like
a pause
where you finally realize what the hell just happened. As I stand up and I look down, because it was bad.
Oh, anyway, there's probably stool on the paper cowboy hat
that day. A nation mourns. Anyway, peace, guys.
Bye. Well, when you you told me you use the paper cowboy hats.
I
picture you in there with like talcum powder and like a whole kit,
right?
Just so you can deal with that gasket.
They come off rather easily.
Well, look what happened to Ziggy. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Ziggy,
look at somebody who does a lot more. Yeah, look at somebody who doesn't sweat while they poo over there.
I perspire. I don't
someone
sweat.
Fancy.
Perspire.
Yeah, my butt perspires, not sweats. That's why I'm okay. Plus, I put a lot of deodorant on my ass, so it's fine. Yeah.
It cuts back on the colon spasms.
Right between the cheeks.
Say another voicemail. Again, you can leave us a voicemail. 253-271-4787.
Okay, sorry guys, one more from Ziggy.
Oh, hi.
That voicemail from during whatever from that window pane show.
Yes.
I don't really remember.
Oh yeah, you remember he was hammered.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing that, but I've been looking forward to hearing it since every time I get that wasted, first thing I do when I wake up the next day is check my phone's outgoing phone calls and text messages. Knew I called you.
Thanks for calling us.
Did not know that happened. But what I really wanted to say about finally getting to meet, you know, the Glenn, is that, brother, you give the best hugs. You're like number three. It goes my wife, my mother, and now you.
Wow. So,
you're a good hugger.
Sweet.
Man.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
So sincere. Anyway, I'm pretty sure I didn't buy hookers. Bye.
Pretty sure.
No, I think someone nearby.
The hooker shop, unfortunately, has been shut down.
That's right.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Sorry.
Double wide hookers.
Closed. We have to go to an Indian burial ground now and summon them, and that's how you get them back.
Yeah.
With the rooster.
There is
the old Mi'kmaq burial ground.
The weirdest thing. So they have the tribal cemetery, and it's not that far from my house.
It's your cat now, Lewis.
It's literally a Pokemon gym.
What?
Yeah.
Like, there's a Pokemon gym set up.
Pokewoman gym.
It's so weird. Like, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's cursed.
The earth of a man's heart, Stonia.
You just didn't do that, right?
While we're talking.
It's that damn road.
While we're talking Ziggy. Ziggy also,
have you guys ever seen Pet Sematary? Is anyone getting this?
I got it, but
I saw it. I don't remember the lines. It was like, I was like 12 when I saw it.
The worst movies ever made. That road's been hard on a lot of animals, Lois.
Wasn't Edward Furlong in that?
No, but the guy that played the Frankenstein monster on the Addams Family television show.
Lurch?
He played Lewis's neighbor across the street, and he wore that funny hat, you know. Huh. It's your cat now, Lewis. It's that damn road. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just such a bad movie.
Poor guy's been typecast as being this creepy, weird guy.
Yeah, that movie's terrible. Undead cat, wife looks like a man.
All of this is going over my head.
Sorry, dude. Everyone out there is like, why do they even let him talk, man?
Fred
Just
Gwynne.
Watch this Fred Gwynne.
Yeah, he was also My Cousin Vinny as the judge.
Yeah.
What's a ute?
It's that old Mi'kmaq burial ground.
Well, Ziggy also sent us an email.
Oh, Jesus.
TheMixGuest@gmail.com. Says, I might have brought this up to the Rev when I ran into him at the window pane show. Mm. Since he was there, I know, I'm aware of that. All voices are done by me. Don't ask why I did this. I just never knew I needed to. He sent us some audio. And sometimes soon I'm going to try and rework some of the older bits that were from the old days with you guys. Hopefully it'll tide you over until I can can master the 4 to 6 ones that we did a couple months back. He's been busy working on converting an old school bus and other grand projects like that. So yeah, he sent us something titled Baney and the Bat.
All right
then.
Let's have this.
I have not listened to it. I just saved it.
Baney and the Bat.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a song or if it's a bit, but it's called Baney and the Bat from Ziggy.
I think you might have been on there.
Oh, sweet. This is incredible.
Have we taken mushrooms and I just did not realize it?
We just entered a Disney movie.
You're at JB Steak Cellar.
A really weird Disney movie.
Are we all eating the bread? Am I wrong?
You want some bread?
Don't eat the brown bread, man. Nervous.
Gotham now, it's a rotting cesspool. Every night, like the one before, vicious town full of vicious criminals. Waking up to say. Joker with his thugs, like always, the same old threats and plans as well. Every night is just the same, just a dawning of this age, since I came to fight the Gotham soul.
Good evening, bats!
Joker.
Still trying to stop me.
You're going back to Arkham. You'll be in a better shelter.
Try! Lawrence! Boombox!
Maybe Snorkel.
Carrie, come to bed. We'll be your senseless. I know we should have stayed at home.
Here he comes. Don't be too loud.
You're lying. He will kick our butt to bed.
What the hell are we listening to right now?
How does he
speaking
find
of acid trips.
I want the time to do this kind of stuff. I don't have the time.
Or
it makes
the drugs.
Me sad inside.
Don't shoot! Your cash! I'll take your life!
No one will save you.
They all will fear me. I am the Dark Knight.
Ah, Batman!
Commissioner, I've come to return the Joker to Arkham.
Beat him already?
He was real easy to put down. He didn't stand a chance against me.
My God, there's a break-in at the bank!
I know, it's Two-Face.
Two-Face? He's robbed it twice!
He does everything in twos. His mind is split in half, just like his face.
I'm sending my men over right away.
You know I'm faster than your men.
I insist. Oh, wait. Batman, where'd you go? He disappeared on me again!
Look, if the bat, he's gonna stop the silly. Hope Two-Face sends him down to hell.
We're only halfway through this.
It's like, did he do a full musical?
No.
He did a full musical.
That's we're the only thing, halfway man. Through this.
If we continue with the program, are we not paying proper respect to the work that went into this?
We have to
do
continue.
Do we have to continue?
We have to.
Yeah.
All right, bring it back a little bit so we don't miss anything.
Me again.
Look, if the bat, he's going to stop the silly. Hope Two-Face sends him down to hell.
No, we'll just flip our coin. We'll never rest until we've killed that bat. Dead. Your plan is failing. I can take you to get the help you need. You can still be a White Knight, Harvey. And you just need to remember who you
blames him for his dashing looks.
Oh, but behind my green facade, maybe not that all. Not different from that bat of ours that won't stay locked behind these bars. I'll kick his butt, hold for me to Mars, that bat.
Wow. Do you think his neighbors are concerned?
This was some time.
Yeah.
This took some time.
Yeah. And I'd imagine his neighbors heard all of it.
Well, we've learned a lot. He doesn't like shorts, and he's married. His wife lets him lock himself into a studio.
Like a
and imagine
scientist.
Him coming out and saying, honey, you want to listen to what I've created so far? And her being like, well.
Okay. And then,
or maybe she's like, oh, hell yeah. You know?
I'll kick his butt. Hold for me in a mug. Let's back.
He does a really good Joker voice, by the way.
Yeah.
His Batman's not bad either.
Wow, you just escaped that prison, Bane? You're the greatest mercenary.
Bane, yes.
I know.
No couple life stands a chance against you, and no Kid Crusader for that matter.
It's true, Steve, and I've got my sights set on him.
The Batman of Gotham?
He's the one that betrayed the League of Standards.
Batman saves my
life. Like a younger man with nothing held back. And who thinks he can save Gotham? That's just what the...
It's like the teacher at the Charlie Brown.
Crossing this plane.
Right
from the moment when I crashed that airplane.
Yes!
When I started and I bowed, I will kill without pity and I'll take back the city. So make a plan to find and break the bat.
Look there, he goes, born in a prison. Trade boy, Al Ghul, your old mentor. Just please be safe. I made a promise. Please don't make me bury you to Bruce.
Pretty good on the Alfred, too.
Of course.
It's not a car.
Rachel!
This is
kill Batman, stands no chance now. They're gonna throw him down a well. I hope that Bane will win and beat the Bat Husband. Oh no, it looks like Bat will win. It really looks like Bat will win. Dear God, I think the Bat will win.
That was amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Steve is speechless.
Steve is stunned.
We got another voicemail.
Do we?
Moving on.
Yeah, should we?
I'm just imagining all our listeners going, what did I just hear?
That was insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. Disturbing.
All of those.
Troubling.
Yes.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And insane once again.
Yeah, I mean, Ziggy.
All rolled up into one. Yeah.
If you wanted to describe Ziggy, everything Steve just said.
Yeah. If we had a game ball, Ziggy got the game ball for today's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Glenn had it in the bag for the acid story.
Yeah, for the acid story.
I was like, Glenn's got the game ball in the bag. But then Ziggy comes in and just
with the Disney number and just wrecks house.
Nails a three-pointer naked upside down, throwing it with his dong. Like, how do you not give him the freaking game ball? That was insane.
There's a visual.
Let's check out another voicemail.
Let's see where we can,
Hey, guys, it's Justin.
Hi.
I know it's a little late to be getting my voicemail in, but...
I have a musical for you guys.
I just wanted to give my concert synopsis, I guess. First off, I want to say just everyone we got to see, from standing in line, seeing friends, to, you know, leaving at the end of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was, all the friends and family that we got to see, you know, it's just an amazing thing to bring that many great people together. And then concert-wise, the show was single-handedly one of the best shows I've ever been to. Every band was great. I've got to give massive props to Wyatt Only and the Wreckage, man. You guys freaking killed it. I love the new song. Welcome to Seattle, mother...
Thank you.
And then I got to say to you, Glenn, God, that was an amazing set. Just, I could see the emotion, you know, being up there in the front row was just amazing. And standing next to Miss Tawny, and man, I was just watching you lock eyes, just gave it something that was just so meaningful. And then the send off to Mark was just so, it was awesome. You guys killed it. I love the new guy. Chris is awesome. I had a little chat with him. He's a really nice guy. All in all, what a great show. Seeing everyone was amazing. Migs, I got to give you credit, man. If it wasn't for you,
that's right.
None of this would have happened for me. I wouldn't know any of these people.
That's
so
right.
I got to say thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
Glenn and Wyatt. There's just too many names. I'm still high from the show.
Can I have some of that?
Thanks, guys, for another amazing time. This is the reason I stay positive, moments like Saturday night. It was just, I got to say thank you from my heart, from Hannah's heart. It was an amazing show. Thanks, guys.
Much love, brother.
That was a great voicemail.
I'm glad to hear from him and know that everything's cool, because I got a text has no inflection. But remember last show, that guy called and was like, my ex-girlfriend just gave me syphilis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I joked. I was like, man, is that Justin? And then I was like, man, maybe Hannah put him up to him, right? But it, of course, obviously all in jest.
Right.
I got this text that just read, it wasn't me. And then I replied like, LOL, sorry, brother, blah, 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 blah. And about an hour later, I got the same exact message. It wasn't me. And I'm like, dude, Justin's going to come to my house and kill me, man.
Why did you get pissed?
So, like, you know, a couple days later, we ended up texting back and forth. But for a couple days there, I was like, man, he knows that obvious if you listen back that I'm kidding.
Yeah.
So, Justin, I love you, brother. I know it wasn't you. And thanks for not hating me.
It was totally you, wasn't it?
It was him. Yeah. We got an email. This is from our buddy Sturgis. I forgot that I even had this email, and he hit me up on YouTube. He was commenting on a video and asked me, hey, you never got to my email. I was curious what you thought. I was like, crap, I didn't realize it. Sometimes emails fall through the wayside because we never get to them. But he said, Steve, I have a random but serious question. Hey, Rev. Hey, Glenn.
Hi.
You guys might enjoy this one, too. The band Insane Clown Posse features Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope, who have a history with indie wrestling and the scene. They have nearly 30 albums with Psychopathic Records from Detroit, starting more than 20 years ago. My question is more if you are privy to them, but are you down with the clown? And he said, Juggalos are fans of ICP and similar artists, but also self-identify as such as a family, sharing camaraderie, love, and respect for each other. Juggalos have been labeled as a gang by the FBI watch list since 2005, I think. Have there ever been a band whose following were viewed in such a way? For example, Kiss was devil's music, but there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand. Rock on, brothers from Sturgis. And, you know, it's funny. I used to have a certain perception of Juggalos because of the negative stories.
I've only heard the negative stories,
right.
So I don't really know what. But, you know, that's just what I've heard in media. That's what I've heard on media.
Yeah. And
so
sadly,
I should say that as well.
I think the media likes to pinpoint and focus on the bad apples in any bunch. And for the longest time, I assumed sometimes what the stigma was, that they're just like a gang that causes problems. And
just like I assume that all children are soul-sucking, loud, dirty, messy little money pits.
But we've learned that's true.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's 100% true, yeah.
But, you know, I got to give a shout-out to a guy who does a great podcast, Kevin Gill. He's involved in the world of wrestling. He's like a commentator for Insane Clown Posse. He has the Gathering of the Juggalos, which is like Insane Clown Posse Wrestling. And they have like all, you know, big-name wrestlers in the indie world come. And at first, a lot of them have that stigma, too. Like, well, I'm going to get paid. And they leave. Like loving the scene,
having a great time,
loving the environment.
Oh, that's cool to hear. Actually,
I listen to Kevin's podcast. He's all about a PMA, positive mental attitude, and he shares stories about being involved in the Juggalo culture, and it completely changed my perception of what Juggalos are. I went to WrestleMania in Dallas last year, just randomly befriended and started hanging out with these guys, and they were like big in the Juggalo scene. Talked to them, learned more about it. And I'm not a fan of Insane Clown Posse. I like a couple of their songs. I like the F the World song. I think that one's pretty awesome. Can't play it on here without Rev killing me.
Yeah, right.
But not a big fan of, and I don't hate their music. I just have never really been like exposed to enough to be like, I love it. It's just not my thing. But man, after hearing stories about what the Juggalo culture is like, it's very similar to the community that we've built in this podcast.
Yep.
You know, it's about being positive, it's about looking out for one another, and sadly there's always going to be a bad apple in any group of people. We see it sometimes on our Facebook group page. Some people are not necessarily the most positive as we'd like them to be, and it drags things down from time to time, and it's just how it is. That's with numbers come sometimes bad apples. But I guess the moral of my story is I'm glad I listened to Kevin Gill, and I'm glad I met the people that I've met. In fact, my buddy Hero, the one I kicked in the stomach, he's got a Insane Clown Posse tattoo on his arm, and so I would imagine he's a Juggalo.
Yeah, right.
And some of the best, coolest people I've met that I probably would have had this certain dumb stigma attached to because of the media, because of the news. And I'm so glad that I was willing to open up my eyes and ears and learn more about the culture, and I have nothing but love and respect for Juggalos as a whole.
And it's one of those things, well, you look at somebody who is different, and then you look at a whole group of people who have decided to go outside of the norm and do it in a similar fashion, which is definitely what they do with ICP, and then you will get that stigma because people don't want to infiltrate or get even near a group of people that perceive themselves like that. And I mean, it's like people who are into the horror movies. They think, oh, they must all be, you know, sociopaths and all that. And the fan base for horror is some of the nicest, most respectful people.
Dude.
And it's the ones that when they go out to like Crypticon or any of the horror conventions, like they're genuinely happy that the people who have done some of those movies have come out, no matter how big of a role or how small of a role. It's the fact that they are a part of their culture that they're just so appreciative. And it's a lot of the Juggalos are in the same way.
Imagine Tipper Gore's head exploding if she went to a black metal festival.
And
met the fans and the bands are like, these are some of the nicest, coolest people ever.
Right.
They just really dig this music.
And
you
sometimes
know?
That outlet is what keeps them quote-unquote normal outside of that outlet.
It's all good, man. And that's I don't think anyone goes to a rock concert to get into a fist fight or stab someone. Just sometimes these things happen.
Maybe one or two guys do, and that's the sad.
That's the problem. Yeah.
And thanks again for burying that shank for me. I appreciate.
Well, you know, that's what happens at a window pane show. Window pane fans want to kill people.
I had to take action.
I do want to say, hey, quick thank you and hi to Shane, who's been hanging out with
us. Buddy?
Shane, be sure to say hi if you want to jump on the mic. And how's the experience been for you so far?
Oh, it's been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I back in my day, I actually used to do radio.
Fun.
My brother was real good friends with a guy who ran the radio station. Ended up in the, here they are having this 9-year-old kid answering the answering the phone.
Wait, so when you said back in my day, to do radio, you're talking about back in the day when you were 9 years old.
Yeah, I'd answer, answer the phone. I'd be like, freaking what's awesome.
I tried to call the station. I got this kid.
I think I got the wrong number.
He started making fart sounds, and he hung up.
Oh, yeah, I used to work at this station in this town. No, you were 9 years old, and you got to answer a phone call.
Free labor.
I love it, dude. That's awesome. That's cool. Thank you, dude. Really appreciate you being such a great supporter of the show, BJ and Migs and all that kind of stuff. It means the world to us.
Oh, yeah. Love you guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. Of course. Let's do one more voicemail, and then we'll bone on out.
All right, then.
Sound good? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see.
Yeah. Hello, guys.
Mama!
Called to let you know that I'm thinking of you. I love you. I love you all. And hope your weekend went well. I had a good weekend this weekend.
Nice.
And I will talk to you soon. Just wanted to remind you that I'm so happy I have a big family now, because that's what I always wanted and never got till now. And that's thanks to my son, Hawknado. I still wouldn't have had a big family if it wasn't for him. So, I love you all. Have a nice week. Bye-bye.
I want to throw out to all of our listeners that Mama Hawknado was not sitting in a car at the showbox.
She's still alive.
She's doing fine.
Yep.
It was about Tuesday or Wednesday following the show that Tawny produced this massive gig bag or gift bag from Hawknado.
Oh,
and nice. She had gotten it, but in the blur that is one of those nights and all the things, and then I think she put it in her car for safekeeping, and then 3 days later she's like, by the way, this is from Hawknado. And all kinds of goodies, all kinds of cool stuff. Hawknado, brother, thank you so much. Super, super cool. Actually, I donated the 2 bottles of champagne to another really rad cause, which I bet will be revealed in next week's episode. But thanks so much for passing that off to Tawny. Tawny, of course, thanks you as well. And I did get it just several days after the fact. And he and I have been texting back and forth. I'm like, bro, I got the package, you know. So we'll see you July 15th at Jazz Bones, my brother. And thanks so much. And I want to let all of our listeners know that Mama Hawknado did not sit in a car waiting for me to come say hi, which was my sweat-laden nightmare about that event.
That is awesome.
Yes.
Well, again, yeah, thank you guys for listening. As always, we will be back next week, and who knows what the hell we're going to be doing, but it'll be fun, I'm sure.
Sure.
I want to throw out that our boys in Woodshed are in the studio right now.
Saw the pictures.
Nathan Reno sent me a bit of a track. It's sounding killer. So that was just some exciting news I got on my way in, that Woodshed is tracking. I've heard a little bit of it. It's killer.
When their record's done, let's get them in here.
Yeah, let's definitely do that, man.
Guys.
Yeah, Reno even sent me that clip, and I was like, dude, so
yeah.
Definitely want to throw that out to all our listeners.
July 15th over at Jazz
July
Bones.
July 15th at
Pain.
Jazz Bones.
You got Antihero and then also
Mom's Rocket.
Mom's Rocket.
And that's Kristen Casper's official Welcome to Windowpane party.
Nice.
And we have some stuff planned for him, so it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, so get more information, you just go to Windowpane's Facebook page. Just type in Windowpane on Facebook to find it there. Don't forget to join our Facebook group. Just type in the Migscast and be a part of all the silliness and the insanity that happens on that page. All right, well, we'll be back next week. Thank you guys for listening, as always. And please, please, please stay positive.
Stay positive.
Stay positive, bitch!
Stay positive.
Or die!